As we approach the winter solstice coming up, the longest night of the year, there is light ahead. And that light is shining a little brighter today. And I think we can all be thankful for that.
It's quite the journey for that light to reach us, starting in a small town in Belgium. First stop, Cologne, Germany. Then a transatlantic flight to the land of bourbon and fried chicken in Kentucky, US of A. Before finally to Canada's Immunizations Operations Center, where Major General Danny Fortin and the Canadian Armed Forces will marshal the resources of FedEx Express Canada, the government is splurging for the express shipping, and Inomar Strategies, a company specializing in medical supply chains, to finally reach the final 14 distribution destinations across Canada. It's a trip not usually recommended during COVID times, but the passengers are special. They are thousands of frozen doses of the new Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. Two of those 14 Canadian distribution centers are in BC, which will be getting fewer than 2,000 doses and be unable to reach people beyond the Lower Mainland, at first. The minus 80 degrees Celsius storage requires more than your average fridge. Northern Health Communications told CICK News that details on rollout in the north is being worked on, but there's no exact date on when those will be complete. BC's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry, explains where the first wave of vaccines is going.
We will be receiving vaccine at just two places in British Columbia next week. We will be receiving two trays at each of those places, and a tray has about 975 doses each frozen. One of those places will be in the Vancouver Coastal Health Region and one in the Fraser Health Region. As we get our systems underway and we better understand the requirements for the supply chain, we expect to be able to transport vaccine to other locations around the province. And as we move into the coming weeks in December, we will expect to receive, and it changes daily, but we're thinking in the tens of thousands of doses in the coming 2 weeks in December, after December 14th. And then into the first week of January, we expect even more vaccine to arrive, and we have planned for expansion to at least 9 sites around the province, and we're working on having 30 sites around the province that are ready and trained to receive these vaccines. And they will have the ultra-low temperature freezers needed on site.
Another vaccine using the new mRNA technology is on the horizon. Dr. Henry explains how Moderna's version is a bit easier to transport out of the distribution centers.
We know that the Moderna vaccine, which hopefully will be approved for use very soon, has less stringent requirements for transport, and that it can be kept at fridge temperatures for a matter of days. That makes it much more easy to transport smaller amounts to long-term care homes for residents, for example, or to some of our more rural or remote communities. But by protecting the healthcare workers who work in long-term care and work in those critical cares, the critical areas of our hospitals, we are able to protect the residents as well. Starting in later December and into January, we will initiate more widespread rolling delivery of the vaccines and other vaccines as they become available around the province. So by the first week of January, we expect vaccine to be available in all health authorities, likely the Pfizer vaccine, and hopefully Moderna as well.
So who gets to the front of the line? First up is supposed to be people in care homes and the staff who work there. But the freezing issue will keep most residents of care homes from being able to get the shot until Moderna's version comes, likely in January, according to Canada's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Theresa Tam. Who's next to get the limited 380,000 first doses of the two-dose vaccine coming in the next few months? Here's Dr. Bonnie Henry.
From there, we'll add the next layer into our sequence to include people of advanced age, so people over age 80 in the community, higher risk communities like those living in congregate living situations and shelters and places where we know people have a higher risk of severe illness and ending up in hospital, and remote and isolated First Nations communities and Indigenous peoples.
Now it's April, and the vials of life-saving mRNA and more traditional-style vaccines are rolling in. Who's next in the queue? Dr. Henry again.
By late March, April, our expectation is we will have enough vaccine and likely more different vaccines to expand to include all other frontline workers, including other healthcare workers, police, fire, first responders, people who work in the important essential services like grocery stores, manufacturing, production facilities, transportation, teachers, and others in our system. We'll also be moving down our population range in age increments as vaccine becomes available. It is important to remember, though, this phasing is based on what we're anticipating to be available based on the approval of the vaccines. And as more vaccine supplies become available, that will allow us to accelerate these timeframes.
There are also a few people who may be waiting because those fancy new mRNA vaccines first on the scene are not yet proven to be safe for them.
These first vaccines are not recommended and haven't been tested in children under the age of 16, so that's important, thankfully. And we know that children are less likely to have COVID or to have serious effects from COVID. They are not approved for use in people who are pregnant, and that's important because we don't yet know their safety in that population. And unfortunately, they're not yet approved for use in people with immunocompromising conditions. And that is something that we are looking at because we know that people whose immune systems are not functioning, whether that's from cancer treatments or other medications they're on, are more at risk of having severe illness from COVID-19. But unfortunately, we do not yet know if these vaccines work in people who are immunocompromised and if they're safe.
So wait. Most people know what DNA is, and maybe have heard of RNA, but how exactly is this vaccine different? Well, traditional vaccines use dead virus, or virus genetically reprogrammed to not multiply. To simplify, these mRNA vaccines don't go after the virus itself, but proteins that give its ability to infect you instead. Dr. Henry paints a description.
These two vaccines are developed using a new process, and they're called messenger RNA vaccines. That means that we've taken a piece of the genetic code from the virus that helps translate into the spike protein, that little spiky bit on the outside of the virus. And that protein then is produced by our cells, and our immune system responds to that to develop antibodies. And then if we're exposed to the virus, we have those antibodies that attach to it and protect us from becoming ill. That's how this vaccine works. And it's synthetic genetic material, which means that it can be manufactured in large amounts very quickly. These types of vaccines have been worked on for decades for other things like Zika and even influenza and rabies, but this is the first time that it has been manufactured and shown to work. In other words, the vaccine helps us skip the illness and get straight to producing protective antibodies.
Its effectiveness, over 90% according to Pfizer trials studied by Public Health Canada and just approved on Wednesday. That does not mean we'll be out of the woods for a while yet. The federal government's published vaccination plan has a completion date at the end of 2021. Does that mean restrictions are here to stay until then? With the goal of reaching the most vulnerable people first, then the most likely to come in contact, summer 2021 may still see masks at airports, but the kind of mandates put in place to avoid outbreaks are unlikely to remain. It's not going to be a full return to licking doorknobs, but we'll hopefully be able to have fireworks next Canada Day. And hopefully, we'll all finally take to heart what our parents and elementary school teachers taught us. We'll remember to always wash our hands.